to Curmudgeon's Corner for Thursday, February 11th, 2016. It's 3:13 UTC right now. Oh, and once again, look, 3:14, and in a few seconds, it'll be 15 seconds.
We're on the pie.
We're on a pie swing. Anyway, so we're going to talk about zoos, and we're going to talk about chocolate. And maybe we'll talk about new developments in computer mice. What?
Milk.
Milk. Yes, milk.
Talk about milk.
Okay. Talk about milk. What are you rustling?
Papers. No paper rustling. All right.
No paper rustling. Put the papers away.
I'll put the paper. Oh, jeez.
Obviously, we're going to talk about the election. The New Hampshire.
There was an election.
Yeah, the New Hampshire primaries happened a couple days ago as we're recording this, and we've got more election stuff coming up, and all the ramifications, and blah blah blah. That'll be our main topic of the day. We'll talk about the Democrats. We'll talk about the Republicans. We were talking maybe a lightning round after that. Although I'm really light on my lightning round topics.
Well, I'm very light on my lightning round topics because I just sat down here a minute ago and basically couldn't do anything. I went today to downtown to take care of some business, and the drive back turned into a. I drove downtown. It took me 50 minutes to get there. It took me an hour and 50 minutes to get back. It was just this. There were like two massive accidents on the way home. I was just, you know, it just was grinding and taking forever. And I don't have to commute normally anymore. So whatever I do, it's like I realize, oh my God, this is so tiring to commute. Can I be honest?
You don't have to tell me about commutes.
I mean, it's just, you know, so commuting, can I say, just, you know, sucks. So I did that, and then I got home. And actually, on the way, I called my wife to let her know that I was running late because there was a massive traffic accident that actually shut down the highway. I mean, literally. I mean, they shut down. They were having people, you know, they were deviating the traffic onto side streets. It was just, you know, it was that bad. So I go, and she tells me, "Well, honey, I was trying to cook some chicken, and we're not going to have the chicken." I'm like, "What do you mean?" Well, I don't know. I've been buying this organic Costco chicken, and lately it's been smelling kind of funky. I went and I cooked this one, and the smell from it was just so awful. I don't know if it was bad or whatever, that basically I just dumped the whole batch.
So okay.
We're eating something else. And I was like, well, that's fine. I did bring some fresh pasta from my – I have a friend of mine who has a pasta factory.
Wow, nice.
Downtown Miami. So I brought some fresh – I was bringing some fresh pasta ravioli from there. So I was like, well, I got the ravioli, you know, fresh, you know, and stuff, and gave me a sauce and whatever.
And I must say, if the chicken is bad, don't eat it.
Right. So okay. So my wife said she dumped it, all right? She didn't really tell me where she dumped it, okay? So I get home, all right, and, well, the garbage disposal in the kitchen is completely jammed up.
Okay,
yes. And it's smelling a little funky in the house still. I mean, I gotta admit, she told me that she had dumped Clorox and all this stuff, and it still smelled funky. So I can't imagine how bad it really was before if it still smelled like that. So I look at it, and look, that garbage disposal has a history of getting jammed if too many things go down, okay? Mm-hmm. Usually pull out the plunger, use the plunger a few times, and it gets unclogged, and it goes away. Okay, all right. So I say, okay, I see her there with a plunger, and she had apparently tried a lot and had caused a whole mess and hadn't been able to get it down. So I proceed to try very, very forcefully to try to get this thing to go.
Oh, no.
And it's just not happening. It's not happening. Not happening. I mean, I'm trying. And I finally ask her, I'm like, honey, you know, what exactly did you dump down here? Did you dump the whole chicken? She said, yeah. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, okay. So I'm trying to think for a second, what the hell do I do now? I mean, seriously, this whole damn chicken's down this thing. This thing ain't going down. First, I was thinking, you know, plumber, and I'm like, no, wait. I fixed this before. This is not the first time she'd done this. Now, the last time that she had done this bad was a long, long time ago, because then when that happened, well, then she had, not dumped something that massive down to disposal. But I guess enough years had elapsed that she forgot, how that worked. So mm-hmm. I go and I'm like, okay, I had to get under the sink and I had to undo the pipes.
Yep. Clear them out and put everything
clear
back.
Clear them out and then proceed to dump. So then she says, well, where are you going to dump the chicken now? I'm like, well, you're right. Where am I going to dump the chicken? Well, I went and took it to the storm drain and dumped it down the storm drain. It was already okay. In little bits and pieces. So, it's not like I didn't dump like cooking oil or anything like that. Storm drain. It's, I'm not damaging
it. Why wouldn't you just like put it in your trash bag and out with your trash?
Because there's a lot of water with it. And I was just like, okay,
drain the liquid.
Well, then I would have to drain the liquid. Pain in the ass. Look, I just walked outside and went to the storm drain, just dumped it.
Okay.
So that took like an inordinate amount of time since I got home after having driven for 2 hours. I don't think that was the first thing that was on my mind. It was just to sit down and eat dinner. Instead of doing that, I wound up basically like
doing plumbing. Now, I will mention a few weeks ago, my wife essentially did the same thing. It wasn't chicken, it was something else, but she stuffed a more than belonged in the disposal, and she wasn't thinking about it, whatever. And except with hers, it didn't actually clog. What happened instead was, I guess it did clog, but there was enough in it that it actually forced the pipe, it forced open a pipe connection underneath. And
oh,
so the
Jesus.
So the stuff all went underneath the sink.
Oh my God.
Now, unlike yourself, in my family, my wife is the handy person.
Right. That's what I was gonna say. You're not doing that.
I'm the one who's like, let's call a plumber. She's right. The one who's like, screw that, I'm going to fix it myself, and gets underneath and does it. So she ended up fixing it all herself. It was a pain in the ass to fix, and it had made a mess, but she fixed it all herself. And she's very good at that kind of thing, and I'm happy to let her do it. And occasionally she needs me to like reach in and get something that she can't get, but like for the most part,
right, you just follow directions in this department.
That's all her. But she managed to fix it, and I don't know exactly, like, I guess she said she was just distracted and was thinking of something else or whatever and didn't realize what happened until afterwards and whatever. But, it happens.
Oh, my God, yes, it happens. Well, I let's just say I was just exhausted from this whole thing. Okay, all right. I'm just the commute, the driving, the plumbing. I'm like, So anyway, so that's where I'm at.
Okay then.
Yep.
Well, and before we get on to the main topic, I do want to mention one other thing for me, which is next week. There will be something unusual that happens very rarely here on my side of the fence. It happens all the time on Yvonne's side of the fence. But I will not be at home.
Oh!
I am going to be in San Francisco at a conference next week.
You're going? Whoa! Wow!
I know. This will be...
And you managed to pick... I've been to San Francisco this year twice.
Mm-hmm.
And you managed to go like everybody else. Like, hey, but I'm not there.
Well, yeah. And this is the first conference I will have gone to for my current employer in over 10 years there. So that'll be interesting. The other thing is I made the decision. Well, I mean, I sort of put off things for a while, but I still had the choice. I decided I'm driving.
What?
It's a 12-hour drive from here to San Francisco.
What?
And I figure I'm going to drive because it'll be fun instead of taking a 2-hour flight.
Well, I mean, I am with you on the part about being fun. I mean, look, what was it, last year? Well, not last year, a year and a half ago, that, I mean, I wound up, I don't know if all any of you that listened recalled, probably, that I did that one show because I was driving.
Yes.
I did it from the car, and that was because I did do myself a 12-hour drive, as Sam describes, I'm going to bet that my drive was longer. So I was driving probably faster than Sam.
But possibly, like if you get driving directions online, it tells you just about 12 and a half hours or so on my route. Actually, it might be a little bit more because that was from downtown Seattle, and I have another 30 minutes, so maybe 13 hours. So it'll probably actually be, and I will take breaks. I'm not going to even remotely try to do that like straight through. I'll probably do it in 4-hour chunks or something. But
well, I guess it says here. Actually, I did it right on the target time, I guess. It was 1,029 miles, and it says 14 hours and 35 minutes. And I took 14 hours and 30 minutes. Pretty close. I think it took 14 hours. How many miles is it for your drive?
Let me do the exact drive here. 830 miles from my home to the hotel I'm going to be at.
And it's estimating...
this is Google right now. I had a different estimate from it. It's estimating 14 hours and 8 minutes at the moment.
Mm. Okay. So although my drive is longer, it's estimating over here that I guess it's probably a more less traffic, less hassle drive, I guess.
Yeah, whatever. So I'm going to leave early Sunday morning. As early as I can manage to wake up and try to get there before midnight.
Good. Sounds good. Okay. And,
yeah, so that'll be interesting. Now, of course, I would have more fun.
But wait, let me ask a question. Are they going to pay your money? How are they going to pay you for this?
You know, I haven't even looked. I suspect that they, well, you know, I don't know. I haven't looked. On the one hand, like, the miles is probably going to be less than the plane flight would have been.
I don't know about that. It's 50 cents a mile.
50 cents a mile, $400. Yeah, it's going to be close, about the same.
Well, it's round trip. You're talking, well, remember.
Oh, round trip. Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
It's $800.
I don't know. So I don't know. They might not. And if they don't, they don't. Whatever. I decided to drive.
Okay. All right.
You know, I'll try. I'll look at whatever the rules are. My guess is that this is far enough away that they won't reimburse the drive because they would feel I should have flown.
Well, actually, I will tell you what my company did because I had to actually go on business on that trip as well, which is what I asked my boss and he was okay with. I rented a car.
Right.
They were actually perfectly fine with that because renting the car was a lot cheaper than actually taking my own car.
Right.
And I will tell you that I would suggest to rent a car.
Ah, screw that. I want my car.
You can rent a very nice car.
I'm comfortable with my car. I like
my car. Oh, my God. But it's, you don't put that many miles on yours, and plus they'll pay for it.
Ah, so what?
Oh, God. Anyway, all right, do whatever. ride on a bicycle if you want.
If they pay for it, they pay for it. If they don't, oh, well, it's like, you know, I get 2 days of what will hopefully be semi-fun driving for me. It's been a long time since I've taken a long road trip. Now, having said that, it would be more fun if I had the time to do it back roads, which takes about twice as long.
Oh, I don't know. I wonder who the hell would ever do some crazy stuff like that with you. I mean, I can't imagine anybody. and I'm saying that facetious comment because Sam and
because
I...
Because you've
like,
done it. Yes,
it was almost 20 years ago, for God's sakes, did such a road trip. Sam's got on his website, I believe there's still a link to the blog.
Yeah,
they did a post, right? On this website, ablesmay.com. If you look on trips, there is actually details of this trek that we did 20 years ago, where we used like very crude, primitive GPS technology Well, I wasn't that.
Yeah, it's listed as the non-random predecessor GPS trip in 1998.
1998.
To
18 years ago.
From New Jersey to Miami Beach. Yvonne also did, by the way, my random trip to Joggins, Nova Scotia in 1999.
Yeah, we did that. Yep.
But that wasn't quite as much backroads driving. Anyway, I would love to do backroads, but you know, if 14 hours is already long enough, it would be double. It's usually approximately double to go backroads.
So, for example, I did that trip. That took me 12 hours. I mean, we spent 3 days on the road going back roads,
right?
You know, it's a lot longer away. So
yeah, I mean, honestly, I might even want to think about leaving Saturday night and doing another day of hotel somewhere, but I don't know, we'll see. I'm probably just gonna do it all Sunday.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds like a
but I was thinking 12 hours was fine. Now that I'm seeing an estimate that's over 14, I'm like, that's pushing it a little bit. Whatever. I'll figure it out.
Okay.
But yes, I've decided to drive, damn it. But yeah, I'll mostly be doing interstate, which is a lot less fun than back roads.
True.
So anyway, we're going to take a break and we'll get into the election. We'll talk Democrats, we'll talk Republicans, we'll talk New Hampshire, and we'll talk about implications for Nevada and South Carolina, which are the next ones coming up. And we will be back after this.
Celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Okay, we are back. So, Yvonne, you want to do Republicans or Democrats first?
Oh, gosh, always the Republicans. So Jeb won, I heard?
No.
No?
No.
What about Rubio?
No.
Fiorina?
Still no. Still no, amazingly.
Christie?
No.
Okay. Huckabee?
Still no. So the final delegate results in New Hampshire. Final delegate
results.
In the Republican side. And by the way, this is...
This is a winner-take-all kind of place, isn't it?
Well, no, not quite. We talked about the rules before. It's sort of the extras from all of the people who get less than 10% go to the winner.
Go to the winner. That's right.
Okay, so now... I posted an update on Wednesday morning with some tentative delegate results, even though some counting was still going on. In the hour before we started recording the show, I updated that because A, the delegate count, the actual counting of votes finished, and B, there was a clarification in the rules where it turned out it wasn't just 20 delegates at play, it was 23 delegates at play.
Where did the other delegates come from?
Well, this actually gets complicated. Every state has three delegate slots for party leaders. Okay. Now, and the rules on what happens to those party leaders varies state by state. In some states, they're bound by the results. In other states, they're free actors. So it's like the chairman of the state party, and two other people.
Go whichever way they want.
Right. At least that's how it was. And a lot of states still have the rules that say those three delegates can do whatever they want. However, the national party... The National Party recently, I'll take back the few months ago, instituted a rule that said those three delegates had to be bound as well.
Okay.
And so that apparently is trumping the state level rules. And so what's happening is, for every state, not just Iowa and New Hampshire, it turns out those three delegates are going to have to be allocated in the same way that state would allocate at-large delegates.
Okay.
So basically, when you make those two changes, the final result, and I am going to, after we finish recording the show, I'm probably going to make a blog post explaining the changes over yesterday's results, but the final results were 10 delegates for Trump, 4 for Kasich, and then 3 each for Cruz, Rubio, and Bush.
Okay. All right,
what that means is, actually, in my initial post, it looked like Trump had gotten 11 out of 20. So he got 55% and actually got a majority. Now he has 10 out of 23, which is no longer a majority, but he's still... got the most delegates by far. He got more than more than double what Kasich got. Also, in terms of the popular vote, I'll just run down the popular vote, even though what matters is the delegates. And everybody's got to remember, what matters is the delegates. Trump had 35.7%, Kasich 15.8%, Cruz 11.7%, Bush 11.0%, Rubio 10.6%, and everybody else less than 10%, so screw them. So anyway, now as usual...
Very few delegates still allotted, just, you know, so...
Yeah, we're at 2.14% of the delegates have been allocated so far. So almost 98% left to go.
Sorry, folks.
Nice cough there. Nice cough.
Yeah, all of a sudden, yeah. Sorry.
Now we're going to see a lot more delegates. We're about going to double this delegate haul, a little bit more than double this delegate haul before the end of March. And then... things start really going quickly because in March, I had the numbers right here. On March 1st, almost 26% of the total number of delegates will be decided on that single day.
Sorry.
And meanwhile, Yvonne's dying. And by March 15th, we'll have several contests between March 1st and March 16th, but by the time we get to March 15th, 60% of all of the delegates will have already been decided. So things are going to move really quickly once we get to March.
So what do you think happened in New Hampshire? I mean,
I'll tell you what happened here, because you and I were texting about this, and I mentioned later we should have done this on Twitter so that people could see, but. But the bottom line here is, out of Iowa, as we talked about last week, it looked like Rubio was getting a nice boost. He was getting a nice boost in both the New Hampshire polls that were starting to come out, and we didn't have the polls yet when we did our last show. But in the few days after we did our last show, before we got to the debate, Rubio was going up, 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 both in New Hampshire polls and in the national polls really nicely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then on Saturday there was a Republican debate, and basically Christie owned him.
I mean, now here's the thing. Christie beat the crap out of Rubio.
Yes.
Right? He completely beat the crap out of him.
And of course Rubio did his own damage as well.
Yes, and he fell flat on his face in the face of the attacks, because he had been attacked before. I mean,
well, and the specific thing which everybody has seen, I hope, by this point, is that Christie essentially had the same memorized line that he used 4 different times over the course of the debate. And all but the first time was after Christie had specifically called him out on using 20-second memorized snippets of lines. So he basically said the statement, then Rubio called him out for saying, you know, using the same thing, and then a few minutes later he said the same thing,
right?
And Rubio called him out while he was saying it. Yeah, there you go, and then he did it again, I can't remember. Rubio may have called him out on the third time, not the second time, but whatever. He ended up doing it four times over the course of the debate. Essentially, the same
Christie
statement.
Called him out. Not,
yeah,
not
Christie, right? And
that would have been weird if he was calling himself out.
Yes, it would have been. But he did it four times, and not just the same words, but the same inflection, the same tone, the same everything. And so, of course, everybody started making fun of him, and you know, they started. Sending people out in little robot suits to chase him, saying that Rubio's a robot and he was short-circuiting and things like that. And basically, as far as I can tell, Rubio, like, just plummeted like a rock after that point.
He looked awful, and he crashed. I mean, he really took a beating. But
and so what you were left with at that point, because basically you had four people that were basically tied before Rubio got his boost out of Iowa, and Rubio got a boost above that crowd, and so it looked like, okay, Rubio's going to clearly be number two. I mean, nobody was really talking about him winning. It looked like Trump was going to win all along, but it looked like he was going to clearly be number two, and then we would consolidate.
Well,
I
was talking about him winning. But
nobody serious.
Thanks, Sam.
You're welcome. But then after this, he just went right back into that pack where everybody was bunched up right next to each other. And I remember the text I said is, look, basically you're in a scenario where any one of Kasich, Cruz, Bush, or Rubio could potentially have come in number two. And I said, there's even an outside chance Christie could, for God's sake. And indeed, like, Kasich actually spiked out of that. He's at 16 compared to, you know, 12 or less for everybody else. But they were still, like, you know.
What I'm surprised is the Kasich.
They were all bunched up.
But here's the thing. The guy who went and, like, did all the dirty work basically got nothing out of it.
No, he didn't. Now, some people were saying he got hurt by it and were calling it, like, a murder-suicide pact. But there's no evidence that he actually got hurt by it. He just wasn't helped by it, and he stayed roughly where he was.
He stayed where he was. He just, you know, yeah, he crushed Rubio, but not he didn't.
He didn't help himself any. Yeah. And so, you know, we ended up, instead of, you know, what everybody was hoping for was that out of New Hampshire, you'd get some clarity. You'd make, you know, okay, we got Trump, we got Cruz, we got Rubio, everybody else go home.
Right.
That's sort of what people were hoping for.
Not a fat chance.
But that is not what happened at all.
Not at all.
You got Kasich coming in number two.
We got Kasich momentum going!
But Kasich, and we had talked about, I think we even mentioned Kasich on the show the other day, that he was having a nice little rise in New Hampshire, but this is because he has put 100% of his effort in New Hampshire. He hasn't gone anywhere else. He hasn't done anything anywhere else. He's got no organization anywhere else. Except maybe in Ohio, where he's from, of course. But, like, so I don't see Kasich suddenly coming up and, like, vying for Trump for winning South Carolina. You know? I really don't see Kasich momentum. You know, I think Kasich is going to be a one-off in New Hampshire, and, you know, we're not going to hear from him much again. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe he becomes maybe he beats out everybody else, and it's Trump, Kasich, and Cruz in a few weeks.
Yeah, because I looked, obviously this is an old poll. Okay, it's the last poll that I see here in Rear Clear Politics in South Carolina is January 23rd, which is like ages ago, especially in terms of how this race is moving.
Yeah,
and, I mean, Kasich was polling like 2 points. That's it.
Right. Now, as you said, I mean, this was before Iowa. There will be new polls in South Carolina in the next few days, most likely. But we got nothing yet, so we don't know. I mean,
now,
but it would take
has
a really
quit yet.
Carson has not quit. The only two that have quit so far after after New Hampshire are Christie and Fiorina.
Okay, so
and I'm so sad quitters, for you, Yvonne.
The losers. Okay, let's start with the losers. So Santorum, okay, leads the loser pack. Okay, Huckabee, Christie, Fiorina, Paul. Right, so that's five down. Right, anybody else I'm forgetting that's out?
I don't think so.
Okay, so we've got really left in the pack: Trump, Cruz, Rubio, Bush, Carson, and Kasich. Right.
I mean, the ones that actually have delegates who have not dropped out yet are Trump, Cruz, Rubio, Kasich, Bush, and Carson. So we got six.
Okay. Now, I gotta say that at some point, depending on how the South Carolina results are, I think, especially because I think people thought that, you know, like you said, New Hampshire's gonna give, you know, hey, Rubio takes second in South Carolina, that it's gonna be pretty easy for the establishment people and other donors to go and tell the other guys, hey, get the fuck off. Just, you know, go home. All right, just wasting time. Just
right, but right now, let's go through them. Cruz didn't expect to do well in New Hampshire and won Iowa, and right. So he's not going anywhere. Nope. And he expects to do relatively well in South Carolina. Oh, and obviously Trump isn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Cruz isn't going anywhere. Rubio did horribly in New Hampshire, but he's actually still number three in delegates, right behind Cruz.
Yep.
And so. You know, and he's indicated he's not out, you know, although, you know, third then fifth isn't a great story. But on the other hand, he's brushing it off and saying, OK, we'll try again in South Carolina and beyond. OK, right. Kasich, like we talked about, he's certainly not dropping out after winning New Hampshire. I don't know that he's got a real path beyond this, but he's not dropping out right now. He's certainly going to compete for at least one more state, maybe two. And Bush, I think, is. There's an argument he's done badly enough that he could stop, but he's got a lot of money and he's going to go at least through South Carolina. He's not leaving right now.
I mean, is he still counting on everybody else just flopping and them going to Bush?
Now here's the thing. And I
this is not an impossible scenario right now, given where we are.
I posted this in my blog post about the Republicans. So the post was, Trump takes a clear delegate lead, Cruz and Rubio still the second tier, published on February 10th. And as I said, I'm going to make a new post that updates the delegate totals based on the changes I talked about earlier. But here's the thing. If we move beyond where we are in New Hampshire, the next state for the Republicans is indeed South Carolina. But this is where delegate rules matter again. South Carolina is not winner take all for the whole state, but it's winner take all. There's a segment of delegates that are winner take all based on the statewide results, and there's a segment of delegates that are winner take all based on individual congressional districts. So there's the total number is 50. There are 50 delegates in South Carolina. 29 of them go to the statewide winner. So Trump can win by one vote. He can have.
He gets 29.
He gets the 29 right off the bat out of those 50. Now, and that's, you know, he can get his 30-some percent or 25% or whatever as long as the rest are splitting the vote and being less than him. He gets those 29 delegates. Plus, you know, those additional 21 are winner take all by congressional district. And so far, this may change in South Carolina, but in Iowa and New Hampshire, we haven't seen a lot of sort of regional variability. So where, you know, one of the candidates was really strong in the cities and one was strong in the countryside or something like that. It seems to be relatively evenly distributed. So if Trump wins overall, he was probably going to win most of the congressional districts at a minimum, and he might very well win all of them. If he wins all of the congressional districts, he gets all 50 delegates from South Carolina.
Wow.
And where that would put us is that he would come out of there having 67 delegates, with the next closest being Cruz with 11.
Wow.
And then after that is Nevada. Nevada is proportional, but it also looks like good ground for Trump. So it's you know, as long as the rest of the field is divided, Trump looks like he's got those two states.
I mean, the thing is that, like I said, I mean, you know, Trump ain't getting, like, for example, Bernie won with 60% of the vote.
Yeah.
New Hampshire, right?
Trump won with Trump 30.
Yeah.
Or 20.
Trump is not getting majorities. I mean, it's like, you know.
Trump 36, like, but yeah.
Yeah. And so.
But the point of the reason I'm bringing out the delegate numbers.
I know, because he's getting. Yeah,
he doesn't need to get a majority in order to get the delegates.
I totally get that. And so my thing is that I'm like. Which means that, like I said before, I mean, I keep thinking that at some point, I mean, look, there's going to be a lot of pressure on some of these other people to just get the fuck off the race.
Well, and this is where I'm talking about they're running out of time.
Right.
Because, you know, okay, we've only got about 2% of the delegates so far with Iowa and New Hampshire. When you add in Nevada and South Carolina, you get to about 5.5% will have been decided. You still have 95% almost left to go. But March 1st, that single day on March 1st, is 26% of the delegates. Mm. And between March 1st and March 15th, we get another 30%. So by March 15th, 60% of the delegates already decided. If we're going to play the game of you have to get some of these people out of here so that they can go up against Trump in a one-on-one or even a three-way type of situation, they got to do it before March 1st. If they're waiting until after March 1st, it may be too late.
Hmm.
You know, and we're only talking a few weeks away. And now, having said that, there are all kinds of caveats. Like, it may be if people start dropping out that actually have a decent number of delegates, then there's a question of where those delegates go. Okay.
Right.
There's also the question of if they can keep him under, if they can keep Trump under 50% of the delegates. Now, I just outlined a scenario where by March 1st, he's going to have over 50%. But with 25% or 26% up for grabs on March 1st, that may change on March 1st. If
right.
they can hold him under 50%, then we may be getting into legitimate brokered convention territory at that point, where they can't get a they can't pull ahead of him, but they can keep him from getting a majority. And that depends on how many people stay in and how long they stay in. But fundamentally, if they really want to get to a scenario where they are actually trying to directly win as opposed to just stop Trump, then we have to have this consolidation before the end of this month. We've got South Carolina and Nevada. And then before we get to March 1st, when we've got all of these other states... they gotta go if they want to seriously attempt to stop Trump. Otherwise, you know, there.
Oh, I get it. I get it.
I mean, it's really hard to see past March 1st at this point because even more will change after South Carolina and Nevada, and there's so many states at play on March 1st that it's hard to see where we're going. But like, let's see, March 1st, we got Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Colorado, Georgia, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Vermont, Virginia, and Wyoming all on March 1st. A few days later, on March 5th, we've got Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, and Maine. I'm talking Republicans. The Democratic calendar is slightly different. Then on March 6th, we got Puerto Rico. March 8th, we've got Hawaii, Idaho, Michigan.
March 6th is Puerto Rico? Really? That early?
Yes. March 8th, we got Hawaii, Idaho, Michigan, and Mississippi. March 10th, we've got the Virgin Islands. March 12th, we've got Guam and Washington, D.C. And then March 15th, we've got Florida, Illinois, Missouri, North Carolina, the Northern Mariana Islands, and Ohio. And like I said, by March 15th, 60% of the delegates are gone. So, look,
I am sure that there's a lot of people under a lot of pressure like right now regarding this. It's just going to be who's going to crack first.
Yeah. And the situation here is, if for those people who are really thinking about how to stop Trump, look, the key really is people have to leave. People have to be gone.
People have to leave. Now, the reality is, look, we've had a lot of people leave in the last, you know, since the first two primaries. I mean,
right.
I did.
Right. But we still, there's still, and this is natural, of course, we're dropping the people at the bottom, duh.
Right.
But the ones that have really big numbers, or relatively big numbers, that are enough to sort of make a difference here, are all still there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so we'll see. But, like, you know, this continues to be a situation where Trump seems to be playing this game perfectly, because he's taking advantage of the fact that the other people are so divided and are not willing to jump out, because every one of them thinks, no, they're going to be the guy.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so, I mean, and Kasich, really?
Kasich meant them!
But, you know, okay. But, like, if okay, after South Carolina, what if one more drops? Now we're down to four. You know, I don't know. And the thing is, again, the way that these delegates are stacked, so, you know, you have the possibility of Trump getting all of them in South Carolina. You have he may get a lot in Nevada, you know, although less because it's proportional, you know, but by the time these guys get out, he's going to rack up a fairly significant lead. And then the other guys, okay, let's say they do consolidate after March, right around there. The anti-Trumps are going to have a significantly steep hill to climb to catch up and pass Trump. Now, I'm assuming, of course, no major meltdowns.
Right.
But there hasn't been one so far.
Well, there was a Rubio meltdown last week.
No, I mean, there hasn't been a Trump meltdown so far.
No, not a Trump one, but, you know.
Now, there have been plenty of things that people thought would be meltdowns, but, you know.
I mean, yeah. Well, he hasn't gone out and shot anybody yet.
He's only threatened it, and that's.
He's only threatened it, but he hasn't done it. I guess I don't know. That's the first presidential candidate that I've heard, like, really threatened to shoot people.
Although one of the things that, you know, he's been talking about today, and I think he may be saying some of this stuff a little bit prematurely, because it's going to get used against him by, like, Cruz and some of these others, mm-hmm. is about, you know, how he can change and how, you know, like he's been criticized for crude language and stuff. And he was interviewed and said, you know, I can change really fast. You know, watch, you know, it'll be very different in the general election. And basically, he's been making a variety of statements that are sort of what's the word? He's sort of pre-announcing the fact that
he's going to move to the center
that basically he's going to be shifting his approach dramatically for the general election, and perhaps even more so if he wins and becomes president.
What?
Yes.
So all this talk like it is, blah, 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 is just all a bunch of horseshit. We knew it was, but what I'm saying is he's flat out actually said it now.
Oh, he pretty much has said, you know, look, I can do what I need to win. Okay, and so And somebody from Vox, I guess.
You know, I hate him and I love him. You know, I guess, you know, it's one of those things. Okay. God. Jesus Christ. Oh, good Lord. Wow.
Yeah.
I had not heard this bit. No, I'm sorry. I just, you know.
And I don't have it handy. But somebody, I think from Vox, posted, you know, look, here's how Trump would win the general election. And basically, and I had mentioned this previously, but it's exactly what we were just talking about. It's come right out and say, you know, when people say, well, what about all those racist things you said? Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. That wasn't me. You know, and basically deny, and say something different. And, you know, you don't have to deny that you said it, because obviously people will play the quotes, not that he would care, but he can deny that that's what he meant. He was just doing what he had to do to get this far, and he would be different. Like, even on the wall stuff, on the wall with Mexico, you know, he started out with, we'll build the wall, and then he already adjusted to that, and then we'll put a door in it, a big, beautiful door, and we'll deport all the people, and then we'll let them back in legally.
Oh, boy.
And so you could see him basically, and look, here's the brilliance of this strategy. He can tell general election voters, you know, I didn't mean any of that stuff I said in the primaries. I just said that so I could win the primaries. What I'm saying now is what I really believe. And the wishy-washy, middle-of-the-road swing voters, who, by the way, if you're really and truly a swing voter, maybe you haven't been paying all that much attention, you know, will say, oh, okay, he doesn't sound that bad. I don't know what were all those people bitching about. He sounds pretty reasonable. And meanwhile, the people who liked him in the primaries are like, look how smart he is. He told us the truth.
God.
He told us the truth before, and now look, he's saying this stuff so he can win, but we know what he really thinks.
Oh, my God.
And meanwhile, while you're doing all that, he's continuously smashing Hillary Clinton for every possible vulnerability she has, and you goddamn know she's got a lot.
I mean, look.
and that's right. How you get to President Trump.
Well, that's one scenario. I have to think that in the same way that these things that he says, for example, oh, I've had all these positive things and Hillary has negatives. I mean, look, he has a lot of negatives too.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sorry, but you know, the rapist calls and women insults and all of this stuff. I mean, you know, I mean, we want to get into a real, I mean, I don't know why people haven't gotten into a more mudslinging.
Well,
we want to get into a mudsling. I mean, with
well, the thing is, for the most part, Trump embraces the mud. And that's what makes it hard.
But what I've seen, I mean, look, that I recall, the Clintons were pretty good at embracing the mud, too.
No, what I mean is that when somebody slings mud at Trump, he basically reacts by saying, yeah, that's true, so what?
I see what you're saying.
He doesn't fight it, he doesn't go whatever, he's like, yeah, I called her a bitch because she is.
Well, the thing is, whether that gets you a majority of America vote for you, I'm going to say that the answer is no.
Well, and one of the interesting things that kept coming up in New Hampshire, too, where they kept interviewing people who were like, yeah, I haven't decided which primary I'm going to vote in yet because my top two choices are Trump and Sanders, and I can't pick which one.
And that is just bizarre. Two choices. If your top two choices are Trump and Sanders, I mean, you really need to go to get psychiatric help immediately. Okay? Because they are not anywhere nearly close to similar at all.
But they're both like, screw the system.
I mean, is that the only criteria? Screw the system? I mean,
yeah, like, that's what their voters are for. They practically have said straight up they don't care about his actual positions and policies and whatever. They just care that he's sticking it to the man.
Okay, sure. I guess.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, because here's the thing, right? Like, I've said this before, like, about Sanders. I actually like some of the stuff that Sanders says. I mean, I actually, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll talk about the Democrats in a minute.
Positions about income inequality, and I agree with, you know, abuses. I just don't like how he wants to fix those things, and I just don't agree that he's being realistic about certain of the things that he's asking for. But I don't think that he's you know, that he's means badly or that he's a mean-spirited guy. I think he wants to improve a lot of people's living, and he has certain ideas, which I just don't agree that those ideas will be successful. Now, I just think that Trump's just an asshole. You know? So I can't understand why somebody would fucking even consider that you're voting for Sanders and still vote for Trump. I mean, the one guy's an asshole. The other guy is, I mean, you may have like some ideas I don't agree with, but I don't think Sanders is an asshole. Unless, you know, you think he behaves like how they, on the skit they did on SNL for him, but you know, but I don't think that that's true.
So anyway, the article I was referring to, I looked it up. It's "Here's Donald Trump's Best Strategy for Winning the White House," posted by Timothy B. Lee on Vox.com on February 10th. It outlines basically the scenario we were just talking about and gives some additional examples of, you know, how Trump has completely changed his political persona as well. Which, by the way, the Republicans against him have tried to make this stick and failed by showing all the liberal things he said in the 2000s. You know, on one thing or another.
I don't understand why they can't make it stick. I don't get it. I mean, are they just poor debaters? Is that it?
I think it's the people, the Trump supporters honestly don't care. Like, okay, so what? He said he was for a bunch of liberal things in the 2000s. He's saying something different now, and I like what he's saying now.
Well, we just talked about these people have no positions. I mean, for God's sakes, I mean, they, you got fucking people saying that, you know, that half of them were thinking either vote for Sanders or vote for Trump. I mean, if that's your thought process, I'm sorry, you're a moron.
yes. But yeah,
I mean, it's as simple as that. You're an idiot.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see if he makes it to the general election. As we said a few minutes ago, I think that really depends, going back to our first theme, on how fast other people get out of the race. Because if somebody wants to pose a serious challenge to Trump, they got to start. You got to thin the herd. And then the other thing is, my God, these people have to actually start treating it like Trump is their opponent instead of each other.
Well, that's the other part about what happened in New Hampshire. I mean, you know, I mean, look, for whatever the hell reason, there was a lot of like information surfaced that Bush and Christie were just trying to annihilate Rubio. Okay.
Yes.
And that they made a concerted effort to do so, and I mean, they succeeded. I mean, to a certain extent. I mean, you know, Christie really just went to town on him and just, you know, destroyed him in the debate stage. But it's like I said, I'm like, great. So you just, you know, you went and did a whole concerted effort to take out one of your other like 10 percenters, but you did not attack the front runner in any way, shape, or form at all.
Yeah, because everybody is still acting on this, you know, we have to fight amongst ourselves and then one of us will knock out Trump. But meanwhile, while you're fighting amongst yourself, he's getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
I don't know if he's getting stronger and stronger and stronger.
No, okay. I'm not talking about his percentage support, which has held about steady for a while now. Right. I'm talking the delegate race.
Well, yeah, from that perspective, yes. So, I don't know.
Anyway, we will not have another contest before our next show, but we will have more polls.
We'll have more polls.
So we'll have something to talk about. And perhaps one of these folks will have said something else interesting, or maybe we'll have somebody else drop out. I doubt we'll have another dropout before our next show. Maybe Carson.
Maybe.
But I don't think
Maybe.
Carson was interviewed today talking about how he thinks he's going to win South Carolina.
I love it. Is he even there?
He's probably still changing his clothes.
Okay.
Okay. Enough about the Republicans. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about Hillary and Bernie. Back after this.
Facebook, Facebook, Facebook.
Hey, do you want to help support Curmudgeon's Corner? Well, right now, the best way is through Facebook. If you haven't already liked us on Facebook and you actually, well, like us, then go search for Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook and like our page. It will help you see when we announce new episodes, and it'll help us reach more new people too. If you like a particular episode, like our episode announcement post too, or share it with your friends. All of this helps spread the word about our podcast to more people who might like it as well. And of course, we love having a conversation with all of you listeners, so please use Facebook to leave comments on the shows, give us suggestions, or anything else like that. It's always great to hear from you. So, if you want to help the show, use Facebook. Or forget all of that and just send us money.
Oh, yeah. Carson sees the South Carolina victory. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. He's going to claim victory. Oh, yeah. Of course. That makes all sense. Oh.
Okay, we are back. Democrats. Democrats, Democrats, Democrats.
I mean, okay.
We all
knew Hillary was losing, you know, New Hampshire.
And now, we all knew it was going to be a significant margin.
Yes, so I don't understand why everybody is like now, like, going, oh my God!
Well, look, you shouldn't be surprised, because we've talked for the last few weeks about how this is exactly what was going to happen after New Hampshire. Right. That people were going to react this way.
Well, yeah, and they're all like, oh my God! I'm like, really? And I'm sorry, but my belief is that she's going to go to South Carolina and crush Bernie in South Carolina.
And that will probably happen. Now maybe we don't have any recent South Carolina polls. Maybe he will close the gap considerably.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, in order to actually be on a pace to catch up, he needs about 54% of the delegates, not just, you know,
right,
not just a majority. And, you know, he's been let's just say he's nowhere near that in South Carolina. As of
headlines I'm reading are just ridiculous. Let me see over here. For example, this is a quote that says here, Andrea Mitchell, Bill Clinton freaking out, Fez says, oh my gosh, this is happening again, she's going to lose. Right. You know, I mean, those headlines like that, I'm like, really? I mean, I'm like, I don't know which race were they watching? I'm trying to.
Well, so here are a couple things to look at. So first of all, let me do the delegate totals. In New Hampshire, where we ended up is, first of all, Sanders, in order to meet the criteria that I have to improve his percent of remaining delegates needed, and all this is on electiongraphs.com, of course, he needed 14 out of the 24 delegates. He actually got 15.
Okay.
The split of delegates that was...
What are you splitting?
Delegates.
Oh, okay. Delegates. Oh, okay.
Not delafits or whatever I said.
check it. Still make sure we're splitting the same stuff.
Yeah, it was 15-9. So he got 15, and Clinton got 9.
Didn't I get any?
No, not this time. However, you know, again, if you look at superdelegates, there are 8 superdelegates in New Hampshire. 6 of those had already declared for Clinton.
That means
the actual delegate count in New Hampshire is 15 to 15.
Wow.
With 2 yet to be determined. Jeez. So, you know, and I've seen a few articles today by people suddenly realizing superdelegates exist and being, oh my God, the Democrats have stacked this against Sanders, blah, 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 blah. This was not a secret.
Yeah, I'm like, I love these people.
You know,
I'm like, what the hell? Have they never fucking, like, you know, like, watched an election? Apparently not.
Right. So anyway, so where we are, you know, if you look at the delegate totals right now, is after Sanders's massive win in New Hampshire, he's got 50 delegates, and Clinton, by my estimates, has 418.
That's all close.
You know,
Bernie's. Yeah.
And so now, you know, okay, so he needs a little bit over 54% in each of the upcoming contests in order to win. As we said, the polls in South Carolina are old. Hopefully we'll have new ones by next week. But the last Real Clear Politics average was 62% Clinton, 33% Sanders. Now, Sanders was improving. And let's say Sanders gets a big spike out of his win in New Hampshire and cuts that lead in half. He's still losing. Now, if suddenly we see a poll in South Carolina, or actually Nevada is first for the Democrats before South Carolina.
No.
So Nevada is on the 20th for the Democrats at the same time that Republicans are in South Carolina. And in Nevada, the last average was Clinton 50, Sanders 31.
And I think, you know, that probably, you know, remain close to that.
Well,
I think that's my guess.
I suspect things will tighten. But the key to remember when you're looking at these polls is, in order for Sanders to be on track to actually do something here, it has to do more than tighten. He has to take the lead. And he has to take a substantial lead. You know, if we start seeing polls now, there was one national poll, I believe, by Quinnipiac that showed Clinton's lead dropping to like only 4% nationally. Mm-hmm. But it was clearly an outlier. There were polls both before and after it that showed, a substantial Clinton lead. So we'll see. But if we start seeing polls in Nevada, in South Carolina, or nationally that consistently are showing Sanders not just closing, but ahead, then Clinton has to start worrying.
Yeah, I know. It's not
gonna happen. the way this works, of course, though, is even if we see the lead narrowing and narrowing and narrowing, you're still going to hear all this hullabaloo about Clinton's in trouble, Clinton's in trouble, and Clinton's in trouble. And the biggest problem for her is that stuff becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy. If the only thing you hear in the press is about how Hillary's in trouble, guess what? A lot more people will pay attention to Sanders than were before. And so it could become a feedback loop. So there are scenarios here where Clinton gets in trouble. But, you know, the first thing we have to see, and we'll see it probably within the next few days, we will start seeing polls coming out in South Carolina and Nevada. We'll see, is Sanders really significantly closing the gap in those two critical states or nationally, or does he just close it a little bit? I have no doubt he's going to close the gap a little bit. The question is, does it really look like he has enough movement that he's actually going to overtake her and get to the point where he has a substantial lead? Because just making it closer isn't good enough.
Right. I agree. So, whatever. Hillary is getting this damn nomination. It's just all a good show.
But what if she's right indicted, Yvonne?
Indicted for what? Who's going to indict her? The Obama administration is going to indict Hillary.
Here's the one thing.
Leading Democratic candidate. I highly doubt that.
The one thing I must say about that is, although I have said I have joined you in mocking that idea over the last few shows, if the FBI actually uncovers something that they consider really serious, they are independent. They don't have to have the Attorney General's permission. They can indict her on their own if they find something that they believe warrants it.
I get that.
But now, what would become of it? And this is where, you know, the examples we've had before. You brought up General Petraeus, who's arguably done things that are worse than anything that even Clinton's critics are accusing her of right now. And he got a slap on the wrist. Now, if we went through that, though, even if Clinton ended up getting the same slap on the wrist that Petraeus had, having that happen in the middle of election cycle is not exactly good timing.
No, it's not. But my point is that I don't think that is that nobody is even remotely getting to the point where they have evidence against her that points that she did something like what Petraeus did.
Well, the current things they're saying there is that some of what is leaking out of the FBI is that some of the emails on that server contained specific information about sources and methods, and specifically about human CIA agents in the field.
Fine. But the reality is that it was communication that she was using for herself. She was not sharing it with other people illegally. So the worst – I mean, there
– Well, if that's true, it was illegal for it to be on a non-classified computer system, period, end of story.
Yeah, but the thing is, as I discovered the other day, they also found that –
Yeah, I know. All the previous secretaries of state did it, too.
Had the same type of information on them. So what, are we going to round up every fucking secretary of state in the nation and trot them out to fucking jail?
Anyway.
Yeah. Give me a break.
I just have to bring it up because, you know,
it's retarded, this whole thing. It's a good fodder, I mean, you know, but it's retarded.
The point is there are some things that still have the potential of coming out and causing more speed bumps for her. And if she's already in a weakened position because Sanders is nipping at her heels, even if he's not doing well enough to be catching up in delegates yet, it's going to cause a lot of heartache. It's going to cause this to go longer. It's going to cause problems. You never know. But right now, if you look at it, you know, Iowa, one of these sites, I think it was probably 538, but it might have been one of the others, like the Upshot or somebody, did a ranking of all 50 states based on how good, I think I mentioned this last week, how good they were for Sanders in terms of demographics, in terms of the groups who seem to be supporting Sanders a lot. And both Iowa and New Hampshire were in the top five states in the country. Mm. And all the, you know, well, I guess not all the rest, but, you know, most of the rest of the states were significantly worse for Sanders. And South Carolina is certainly one of those states that is worse for Sanders. Nevada might not be as bad as South Carolina, but doesn't look great for him in terms of demographics. But it should be mentioned, too, though, despite New Hampshire being different than all the other states, the two things that were really stood out about the results, and we were talking a little bit about this in terms of Iowa, but once again, it was sort of stamped from New Hampshire. The only age group that Clinton won was like 60 and above in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
And the only income range she won was households making $200,000 or more.
I know.
Every other group went for Sanders.
But what I saw also was that there was some stats where it showed that if you had limited it to Democrats,
right,
the numbers.
If you took the independents out,
Yeah.
Yeah, and that we didn't talk about that, but that was a factor in the Republican race as well, because in New Hampshire, it's an open primary. Anybody can vote for either party. They can decide on the night of the primary which party they want to vote for. And then change their registration again on the way out if they want to. They actually have booths on the way in and booths on the way out to change your party registration from Democrat to Republican or Independent and back again on the way out if you want to. There were a lot of – and the state is something like 40% are registered Independents, something like that. And so those Independent voters – sloshing back and forth between the parties, and those people who we talked about a little while ago who are trying to decide between their top two choices of Sanders and Trump, made a difference.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah.
And there was also some, we had the cases surge. At least some people were saying that a significant part of the cases surge was people who decided that the Democratic primary was boring because it was clear Sanders was going to win, so they'd go make trouble in the Republican primary instead and vote for Kasich.
That's very possible. I mean, what the hell? I mean, that would be quite interesting. We could, to do that. I have not done that myself. I mean, but we're not. I don't recall. I've usually voted in the Democratic primary when I've had the chance, So I have not contemplated voting on the other one. So.
I very much am that. Like, if one of the, like, Washington is another one of these states where essentially you can decide at the very last moment which way you want to go, and so yeah, I'm whichever one's more interesting. Like I don't have any loyalty to either one of these parties. If I will go for whichever race is the most interesting to play in.
Okay, so it's probably going to be the Republican race. If you had to decide right now, who would you vote for in the Republican race?
really? Washington's not for what. So they actually the first step in the I don't want to get it. Washington
is Rand Paul still on the.
I don't know who will actually end up on the ballot. Washington this year, on the Republican side, their first delegate selection step actually happens on the February 20th, so coming up really soon. But we haven't been mentioning it amongst all these other states because you are actually selecting human beings to be delegates. Well, you're starting the multi-stage process of selecting human beings to be delegates. But those delegates will actually be bound by the results of a primary later in the cycle. So they're not able to actually make their own decisions. So and the actual primary that binds them isn't until May, by which time almost certainly things will be done by May. If not, we're in for a really exciting ride.
Yes, it would be.
And so I don't know who's still going to be around by May. So I'm going to duck the question that way. No, honestly, if I had to pick between the guys that are there right now, I actually might pick Kasich.
Kasich Mendham. Here we go.
Because he seemed like a somewhat reasonable guy. Which is why he's not going to go anywhere past New Hampshire.
Right.
But he seemed like, I haven't paid a lot of attention to Boone, to be honest. But he seemed like a kind of reasonable, level-headed guy.
Democrats that live in Ohio that hate his guts, but oh well.
Yeah, I can believe it. I'm not saying he'd be my first choice in a general election, but I think Trump, no. Like, I might, on one hand, like, as a mischief maker, I want to see Trump, because Trump's going to be the most interesting for the whole cycle if he wins. But at the same time, like, I could not honestly put my name next to Trump's name for anything.
I'm with you on that.
You know, like, even if it's like, oh, this will be fun, but what the fuck if he wins? You know? Like, not just the nomination, but the presidency. I would not be able to live with the fact that I helped that happen, you know? Even in that minuscule way. Cruz, there's no way. I can't put my name next to Cruz. Rubio, you know, a year or two ago, it might have been like, oh, he sounds kind of reasonable on a few things. But, like, the more I've seen of him, the more I'm like, no.
No. Yeah.
And Bush also is like, you know, I could kind of see some things about him, but also the more I see of him, the less I like him. You know? So, I don't know. I guess I'm picking Kasich just because I know the least about him. I'd probably hate him if I knew more as well.
There you go. Okay. Well, what about, well, Paul? Will Paul probably maybe still be on the ballot by then?
Oh, I have no idea. It's far enough away that it may not have been finalized yet, so maybe not.
Oh, well.
I could write myself in.
I mean, he was the only reasonable. It's kind of funny. Every time we listen to the debate, the only guy saying reasonable shit was him.
And he has his crazy side, too. But yes.
But we did say a lot.
On all the debates, it was like, yep, he's talking reasonably. Now, having said that, there were a couple debates where we actually said, you know, Trump actually said something reasonable.
Yes.
That did happen.
Yes. But, you know, like somebody said, a broken clock, you know, reads right twice a day. You know, that's Trump for me occasionally, I guess.
And on the Democratic side, you know, it's, I don't know, that on that side, I might go Sanders just because it's more fun. And burn. And honestly, like, Sanders does annoy me on some things, but Clinton really annoys me.
You know, the mascot for the Miami Heat basketball team is actually called Bernie. Burnie.
Uh-huh.
I think maybe you should get Bernie should get him to go right along with him. You should look him up on the internet. He's kind of a goofy looking
thing. So honestly, let me think Clinton versus Sanders a little bit. I think Sanders has a few crazy ideas that go way too far, but I think for the most part he would be completely ineffectual and harmless as president. I think Clinton can be damaging as president. Because I think she has a lot of tendencies that I really don't like on the as well. That I think she might actually be damaging.
I don't lie, jeez.
You know, not like Trump damaging. But
that's what I'm saying. I was like, "What the hell's damaging to you? What do you mean?" I'm like, you know.
Well, I mean, she's just got a lot of the same interventionist tendencies that that Obama and the previous President Clinton had. That, you know, but they're still better than. I at this point, I would probably vote for either one of the Democrats over any of the Republicans, to be honest.
Can we get Obama back?
But honestly. I'm probably going to end up going libertarian with Johnson or somebody again this time around. But we'll see. We'll see. I have to do one of those I side with things. I haven't done that yet this cycle.
Well,
did you see the thing with Santorum and I side with before we move on?
No.
So for those of you who don't know, I side with is one of these little online quizzes. It's isidewith.com. And you,
I've done one of those a long time. I haven't done one recently.
Yeah, like I've usually done it once every 4 years for this thing, right? But it asks you a whole bunch of questions on policy and what you think of this, what you think of that, and then it comes out with a ranked list of candidates based on what percentage you agree with them. And so Santorum, as he was dropping out, said, oh, you know, by the way, I did the I side with quiz, and I thought it was really funny because it told me that I agreed with myself 97% of the time.
Well, that's good.
And I thought that was pretty good that I agreed with myself 97% of the time.
Yeah.
And okay. He's like, but you know what? It told me I agreed with Rubio 98% of the time. So that's why I'm endorsing him.
Oh, there you go.
That was right about the same time that in it might not have been the same interview, but also right after he endorsed Rubio, he was asked why, or he was asked to say something about Rubio's accomplishments in the Congress or something, and he couldn't name anything at all. And that was also used in ads against Rubio in the last week So,
okay.
How do we talk about end up on the Republicans again?
I have no idea. Anyway, all right.
Time for a break. We'll come back. We'll do a quick lightning round. I got like three things on my lightning round list, so this will be really quick unless Yvonne comes up with a bunch of stuff.
I doubt I am.
Or we end up talking for half an hour on one of them.
On random shit. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, just in the last couple seconds, Alex came in here, grabbed the can of ginger ale that I had, that I was drinking a little bit of because I was coughing, and took a big swig of it and then spilled it all over my desk.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. It's
very nice.
Exactly. So we'll be right back. And in the meantime, I'll get a paper towel and clean this up before we come back. We'll be back right after this. Okay, we are back. You know, I figured I needed to clean that up because, like, the cord to my microphone and my headphones and everything was just like lying in a puddle.
Oh, that's very nice. That's quite lovely.
Yeah, so I wiped it up with a paper towel a little bit. It's still a little sticky. I'll have to do a better job later. But anyway, lightning round time.
Lightning round time. Okay.
I finished a book.
Another book?
Another book. An audio book again. Is Prince Caspian, which is one of the Chronicles of Narnia series. And I'm reading them in order of publication. So it's the second one in order of publication. There's a little bit of controversy in the order because they, at some point late in his life, C.S. Lewis, answered a letter from a fan on what order they should be read in. And he answered with a different order that was basically sort of the story order. Like if you put them chronologically in order of when they happen in the story. And so they've actually, when they publish them in box sets now, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is no longer the first book. They go in a different order because one of the subsequent books actually happened chronologically before that one in the universe's history. But a lot of things like don't make as much sense if you do it that way, because certain things that are presented as like first time reveals, you already know because you read about them in another, whatever. Anyway, I'm reading them in publication order. And this is the second one in publication order. And it was a really short book and it's really obviously aimed at kids, and really not very much happened in the book. So I was kind of left underwhelmed by it. And I don't know. I mean, I guess, whatever. It is what it is. But it was not super memorable. You know, the original Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe has this whole thing, and it's got this, you know, Christian allegory thing going on behind it. But this one is just sort of like, okay, well, that happened. I mean, they basically show up in the world. They figure out where they are. They go towards a big battle. They have a big battle. They win, and it's over.
Okay.
And I guess I should have said spoilers, but there's not a lot of detail there. But
you didn't really, like, you know.
I didn't give much away. Anyway, that was it. I read Prince Caspian. Someday I'll read the next one in line. So do you have a topic to throw in here, or should I just go down the list here?
No, go down the list. Like I said.
Are you like far away from the microphone now? You sound like you're in a big cavern now.
Oh, geez, I moved it. Sorry. I was like, when I was coughing and sneezing before I lifted it up, I actually, you know, I was like trying to cover myself. Sorry. Anyway.
Uh-huh. What's up with this Zika virus thing?
Well, apparently it's spreading. Now, my understanding, it's not deadly in and of itself. Say you and I are male. We get it.
Yeah.
We get sick. And then we, you know,
it's get better.
As far as I can tell, the problem is
it has a very low or maybe even zero death rate.
Maybe not
exactly zero, but very low. Most people get it and they recover. The problem is if you get it while you're pregnant, it can have effects on the unborn child.
Exactly, and that's the big thing. You know, and apparently, for some reason, apparently it can be transmitted in a few ways. It can be transmitted sexually as well.
Right. The primary mechanism is it's insect-borne, mosquitoes.
A specific mosquito. They said that there are vaccines, like, either developing or
developed
for it. So
it's apparently similar to other diseases that vaccines exist for. So they have a high degree of confidence that they will be able to develop a vaccine, but it doesn't exist yet.
It doesn't exist yet. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of places where, you know, women with their children that are concerned because of the impact on the poor little guys.
And apparently the one they're most worried about is I forget the exact name of it, but basically you're born with a small head.
Yeah.
And which squeezes your brain and has all kinds of other potentially negative effects.
Guys, I don't know if you've seen pictures.
I have seen a couple of pictures. I've also heard interviews with adults with this condition. So it's not necessarily like a death sentence or anything. It can be very serious, however. And some survive, some don't. And apparently there are other potential birth defects that might be associated as well.
It's just, you know, it's like, it's okay. But anyway, all right. We're not going to go into birther issues right now. Anyway.
Yeah. Moving on. I don't know. Anything else to say about that? I mean, they issued all kinds of, like, travel warnings and such. Like, basically, like, you know, if you're a woman of childbearing years, don't go to Central America. I mean, it was really kind of that broad.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, right now, I mean, if you're if you're pregnant or planning to be pregnant. Did I say pregnant or something? Yes. Close? Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, or, you know, and what they pointed out is, of course, like, not all pregnancies are planned either, so be wary, if that's even a potential for you.
Right.
Okay, next up, Twitter.
Okay, tweeted.
So there are a few things on Twitter. One... They continue their march of trying to do changes that will get more people to use the platform. So they're rolling out, I guess they have rolled out, an algorithmic timeline that is opt-in at the moment but may not stay that way.
I heard them today re-emphasizing that it is opt-in.
Yes, they have been re-emphasizing that it is opt-in. But what my understanding is likely to happen is it will become the default for new users at some point in time.
Oh, I see what you're saying. For new users.
For new users. But existing users would have to opt-in. Although, you know, part of that will depend on the reaction to it, how people end up using it, blah, blah, blah. And basically the idea behind this change is, from what I understand, the implementation is if you log into the Twitter website or one of the official Twitter clients and you haven't been there for a little while, the top of your timeline will be essentially, it's the same stuff that is the things you've missed kind of thing, sort of tweets they think would be relevant since the last time you were there. But if you scroll up and down again, boom, you're back in a chronological timeline. So it actually doesn't seem that horrible, although I must admit I would find it really annoying. I haven't seen any analysis of whether this is going to affect the third-party apps at all. I haven't seen it yet in Tweetbot, but we'll see. Twitter is forcing the third-party apps to do some things and not others. Like, the stupid change from stars to hearts is now in my Tweetbot. It doesn't hurt me in any way. It's just stupid. And so they're talking about getting rid of the character limit. They're apparently today they were putting something out about changing the way that replies works, so that I don't know. So it's easier to understand for new users, things like that. And meanwhile, of course, Twitter also announced today, I guess it was part of their, was their earnings today or was it just a different?
They did earnings today, and that's when they were talking about that. I don't know. I guess the number of users decreased.
Number of monthly active users actually went down month over month.
Sorry. Nose.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. I get sad every time I think of this Twitter stuff because, we've said this before. The bottom line is they're trying to chase being at the scale of Facebook, and that's never fucking going to happen. It's a different kind of service with a different kind of user base. And if they try to make it into Facebook, they're just going to fail. But they're trying to do something to make this thing make money. And make lots of money.
Right. And this is the thing that we've talked about where they're kind of like screwing around with it. And, it's just, worried that they're going to make it bad by doing that.
Yeah. And to me, all of this is just like, it's a shame. Like, Twitter could have been a very successful medium-sized private company.
Yeah.
But they tried to, go for the
big.
They want to go big, they want to go public, they want to like have this huge scale and all become billionaires. And because they did that, they've put the product into a jam where it just can't support those valuations. So the company is probably going to have tons of layoffs. They're going to keep fucking with the product. I don't know. It's just, it makes me sad every time I see another story about what Twitter's trying to do. Now, of course, people always point out, like, every time they make one of these changes, all the existing users get all freaked out. Oh my God, I can't believe they're changing stars to hearts. Oh no. And then like a week later, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Right.
So,
by the way, I did the iSide with poll.
Yeah.
And I came up with Bernie Sanders at 92%.
Ah, who's your second? You should like
post. My second is Jill Stein.
You should post this on your Twitter or something.
And I will. And my third is Hillary Clinton at 90%.
Who's your first Republican?
Jeb Bush at 63%.
Who's at the bottom?
Let's see. At the bottom, show all candidates. Here we go. At the bottom, yes! Carly Fiorina! 23%!
Excellent.
That's. here we go. I will tweet my results out.
There you go. I'll have to do this thing soon. I'm not going to do it during the show.
Oh, there you go. Okay. It's relatively simple to answer the question, so,
Yeah, let's. I'm clicking on the link you just sent out.
It does take a while to do. So, I mean, I was like, we had a while.
I was cleaning up like, my spill.
Okay. Yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah. So, okay. Interesting.
I'm with Bernie!
And yet you're so dismissive of him, Yvonne.
I said, well, no. What I actually, because the thing is, remember, I actually said that I agree with a lot of his positions. Okay, I said this here. And this asks you about positions. It doesn't ask you about how he's going to carry out, the stuff, which is different. Okay, so,
And I'll also note you had Sanders 92, Stein 91, Clinton 90. That's all like a tie.
It's a tie. I mean, I basically, which is why I said I'm sure I'm voting for Hillary. I don't really see that much more of an option, to be honest with you.
Come on, Jill Stein. Vote green.
No, I'm not voting green. As much as I may be agreeing with him. No. Nope. We're not getting no fucking President Trump or Rubio or Cruz or any of those morons. We're not doing a repeat. I'm not fucking like gonna contribute to another repeat of the year 2000. Fuck this shit.
Can you imagine 2016 Clinton versus Trump coming down to hanging chads in Florida?
No, well, we don't have any more chads in Florida.
So. I know, you fixed that, damn you.
Fixed that damn part, fuck it.
Okay, the one other thing I was going to mention before we wrap this sucker up is apparently this thing in Oregon is still happening.
I kept, you know, I was surprised, you know, I thought it was all over, you know.
But they got all the leaders, apparently, but there were still like half a dozen people still in that stupid bird sanctuary or whatever it is. And as we've been recording this show, the FBI has basically been projecting the fact that they're about to go in and get these guys out of there, right? But the people in the house have been live streaming on YouTube, just audio, not video, but their internal conversations as they're talking to various people, talking to the FBI, talking amongst themselves, whatever, and trying to figure out what they're doing. And apparently, I only listened to a couple minutes of it. Oh, and apparently the FBI just agreed to not move on the occupiers overnight tonight. I guess Okay. They'll wait till morning.
They'll wait till the morning. They'll bring coffee.
But apparently, you know, from all the stuff I've been seeing on Twitter, these guys are just idiots. I guess we knew that already. I mean, yeah, we talked about that a few weeks ago.
But you got a lot further proof.
Yeah, and I mean they're arguing amongst themselves. They're talking about this. They're going on about they're not going to take us alive. About how I've got my gun right here. If they come after me, blah 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 blah. And you know they're, and of course you know look these are the people who came to do a multi-year occupation and didn't bring food.
I just love it. I mean, they're just, you know, this is a great group.
Anyway, so I guess that thing's winding down.
Did they bring any clothes? Is Ben Carson going to go get him a change of clothes?
Oh, well, yeah, that's probably how it'll work. No, they were putting up stupid Amazon wish lists of supplies that they wanted people to mail them. Because
that's even better. I love it.
They said they wanted underwear, they wanted chips, they wanted snacks, they wanted this, they wanted that, they wanted blankets, whatever it was. And you know, if you remember, this is when people started mailing them dildos. But
oh, I love America.
But anyway, whatever, you know, at some point, I mean, I'm hoping the FBI can get the rest of these guys out without killing them. I mean, they're idiots, but they don't necessarily deserve to. They don't deserve to die.
Don't kill them. You know, just, you know, send them home. Get them, you know, have them watch football again. You know, drink light beer, whatever. Damn.
Well, apparently they're going to jail.
Oh, but okay. Maybe they'll have TV in jail.
Yeah.
No beer, though. Okay. All right. Well.
Anyway, that's it for our show today.
Yeah, we're done.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. As usual, follow us on Facebook if you haven't followed. Do you follow on Facebook? You like on Facebook.
Something like
that. Like us on Facebook. We're Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Abulsme, Abulsme. Yvonne is at IMBo. Also, follow my other stuff, or like my other stuff, election graphs on Facebook.
Other things.
But send us feedback. Send us feedback on what you're hearing, what you like, things you'd like to hear us talk about other than elections. We're going to talk about them anyway. We love to hear from you, and we love you to tell your friends.
Yeah, not our friends. Our friends already know. The assholes, some of them aren't listening anyway, so
tell your friends to listen, and review us on iTunes and all that kind of lovely stuff. Anyway, that's it for this week. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.